Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Lalique Group Annual Results 2022 conference call. I am George, the Chorus Call operator. I would like to remind you that all participants will be in listen-only mode, and the conference is being recorded. The presentation will be followed by a Q&A session. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Roger van der Weide. Please go ahead.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to welcome you to our conference call in connection with the 2022 full year financial results of Lalique Group, which we published earlier this morning. My name is Roger van der Weide, CEO of Lalique Group, and I'm here on the phone together with our CFO, Alexis Rubinstein. It's our pleasure to have you all in the call. Thank you for taking the time for this conference. In the next couple of minutes, we would like to walk you through our full year results slide presentation. As you have seen, the presentation is available on the Lalique Group website, and we will go slide by slide. I will start with a brief summary of the past year, then Alexis will provide a more detailed overview of the financial results, and I will then turn to our business priorities for the current year, as well as our financial outlook. After the presentation, as said, we'll be happy to take your questions. Let's go directly to page number four of the slide deck, which summarizes key takeaways for Lalique Group's financial performance in 2022. We saw pleasing sales growth across business lines and international markets. The group's operating revenue grew to 170 million euros, which is 20% more than in the previous year. With this, we are also 20% above the pre-pandemic level of 2019. Our perfume business once again delivered strong performance across most brands, following the growth path we already saw last year. I would also like to point out that our largest segment, the Lalique segment, of course, grew at double-digit rates, reflecting further growth in all six brand pillars. Let me also mention here that our sunscreen product line, Ultrasun, returned back to growth in 2022. On the cost side, the overall cost increase reflects the higher business volumes, intensified marketing activities, as well as investments in enhanced capacities at our three production sites. That is crystal glass, perfumes, and whiskey. As a result, our profitability at EBIT level increased to 13.2 million euro in 2022, compared to 9.6 million euros in the previous year, and our EBIT margin amounted to 7.7%. The group closed the financial year 2022 with a net profit of 9.6 million euros, up from 6.8 million euros in 2021. Given the results achieved in 2022, our board of directors will propose a distribution of a dividend of 0.50 per share at the upcoming AGM. This is an increase of 0.10 versus the dividend for the financial year 2021. With this, let's turn to the next page with some recent business highlights, which underscore the breadth of our business and the benefits of our diversification strategy. I will start with the gastronomy and hospitality business, which we expanded in 2021 with the acquisition of the Lalique Hotel and Restaurant at Château Laforie-Perregaux in the Bordeaux region, and with the opening of the Glenturret Lalique Restaurant in Scotland. Both establishments developed well last year and fit nicely into the world of Lalique. We were also very pleased that the Glenturret Lalique Restaurant was awarded one Michelin star in February 2022, less than a year following its opening, while the Château Laforie-Perregaux Lalique Hotel and Restaurant was awarded a second Michelin star in March 2022. Second, with regard to the perfumes business, we announced in April 2022 that Lalique Group had entered into a new and exclusive licensing agreement with the global fashion brand Superdry. Under this agreement, Lalique Group has been appointed as the exclusive license partner for the creation, production, and global marketing of Superdry fragrances. Another focus in 2022 was on strengthening our production capacities for further growth. This included a new electric melting furnace and increased resources and equipment in the cold glass production at the Lalique manufacturer, as well as a new mash tun at the whiskey distillery. Turning to Switzerland now, we are looking forward to the opening of the hotel-restaurant Villa Flohhof in Zurich. The traditional establishment is currently being renovated in the Lalique style and will be operated by Lalique Group from fall 2024 on, further strengthening our hospitality business. Last but not least, we are also looking forward to the relaunch of the Silk Label Fabric Frontline, as announced in September 2022, with the presentation of a first collection plan for next year, that is to say, 2024. With this, let me now hand over to Alexis, who will give you a more detailed overview of our 2022 financial results.
Thank you, Roger. Also from my side, I would like to welcome you all to this conference call. To look at our full year financials more into details, let's go to the page 7, where you can see an overview of our P&L. Revenues went up to 170 million versus 142 million in 2021, corresponding to a 20% increase, 14% in local currencies. Sales increased in all segments and all markets except Russia, but we will see this more into details in the slide that will follow. The gross margin increased to 58% versus 56.5% in 2021, especially since thanks to the good performance of the perfume business as well as the Lalique retail network with higher gross profit margin. Personnel costs increased by 7.4 million, mainly due to the change in scope, such as the acquisition in July 2021 of La Fauré-Péraguet Hotel Restaurant, as well as the opening of the Glen Turret restaurant in the same time. New boutiques as well opened end of 2021 and beginning of 2022, especially in Asia. We had created last year the new distribution entity in the Middle East for the perfume distribution. We had also furlough applied during the pandemic in this first half year, 2021, especially in France, Switzerland and U.K. Operating expenses increased by 6 million euro in 2022 for the same reasons, in addition to the necessary reboot of marketing activities after the pandemic. Despite this business expansion, OpEx operating expenses remained 2 million below pre-pandemic level in 2019. The financial result has been impacted by non-cash unrealized foreign exchange differences, as well as a slight increase in interest rate during Q4 2022. Consequently, EBIT rose to 13.2 million, and net profit ended up at 9.6 million, including the exceptional income of 1.7 million received from the insurance of our former counsel, closing definitively an old legal litigation. Let's move to the slide 8 to take a closer look to the increase in profitability for Lalique Group 2022. Here we can see that excluding the one-off effect of 1.7 million euro, the EBIT would have been rose by 1.9 million euro to 11.5 million, which reflects the impact of strong sales performance in all segments and all markets, I already mentioned, for 15.8 million, and the increase in gross profit margin for 2.7 million. These two increases offset the increase in cost due to business expansion and increased marketing activities after the COVID crisis. Let's now turn to page 9 with an overview of the result breakdown by our business segments. We can see here that we do not have any change major change in our segment organization, consisting of the segment Lalique, Ultrasun, Jaguar Fragrances, De Glenturette, as well as the other brands composed by Samurai, Bentley, Grey, Brioni, Lalique Beauty Service, our perfume filling factory, and both Lalique beauty distribution companies in France and in the Middle East, and recently Superdry. We can highlight here that Lalique represents 54% of the sales, as well as 33% of the EBIT. The main EBIT contributors of the group were again Lalique and Jaguar, with both 4.3 million euro, while the other brand segments contributed with 5.4 million euro EBIT. So let's move to the next slide, slide 10, to take a closer look at the Lalique segment. Here we see that overall sales increased by 12% versus 2021 and 18% above pre-pandemic levels. Lalique Parfum increased its revenue by 13% with strong performance in all markets, especially in the Middle East with our new distribution company, entity. We had a significant sales increase in crystal business by 11%, strongly driven by the Lalique retail network with a plus 18%. Hospitality business increased as well its revenue by 44%, but taking into consideration that Villa René Lalique, Château Herbert were partially closed during the first half year 2021 due to the pandemic, and that we only acquired La Forêt Perrier Hotel and Restaurant in July 2021. Global brand gross profit margin increased at 61.3% versus 59.2% in 2021, thanks again to the good performance on retail sales especially, while total cost including amortization increased by 9.7 million, but still below 2019 level despite acquisition of La Forêt Perrier, investment in production and in business expansion in new boutiques. Finally, EBIT reached 4.3 million with an EBIT margin of 4.5%. With this, we go to the slide 11 with the Ultrasun segment. Ultrasun generated sales of 14.8 million in 2022 with a recovery of 13% versus 21, returning to a positive trend in sales and profitability. However, Ultrasun sales in 2022 were still below pre-pandemic level, mainly due to the decline in China market, while UK and Swiss sales performed very well. Gross profit margin increased by 10% versus 2021, even if remained below 2019 level. And finally, EBIT increased to a positive 0.5 million versus a negative 1.1 million euro last year. So let's turn now to the slide 12 and the Jaguar segment. Operating revenues increased by 28%, mainly thanks to the positive development in the US, India, Benelux and Middle East. We had here a slight increase in gross profit margin from 32.7% last year to 35% in 2022. So based on this solid sales growth, EBIT improved to euro 4.3 million with an EBIT margin of 16.2%. Now let's go to the slide 13 with the segment dedicated to the whiskey distillery, the Glenturette. The Glenturette segment continued to grow in 2022, increasing its operating revenue by 53.7%. even if slightly below expectation due to the delayed release of the 2022 products. Personnel cost increased by 0.9 million, reflecting mainly the fact that the distillery visitor center, the shop and the restaurant were mostly closed during the first half year 2021 due to the pandemic restriction, as well as the opening of the restaurant only in July 2021. EBIT 2022 is negative for minus 0.9 million versus minus 1.6 million as of end of June 2022, which reflects a positive trend in terms of sales and profitability during the second semester, with a positive EBIT of 0.7 million. Let's now turn to the other brand segment on slide 14. Bentley fragrances continued to grow strongly, up to 59%, with a broad-based international increase in demand. The growth resulted in an increase in EBIT margin of 23.4% versus 18.8% in 2021. Parfum Grey sales increased by 4% with an EBIT margin of 14.4%, while Parfum Samurai were back to pre-pandemic level after that COVID restrictions were stopped in the second semester in Japan. Brioni perfume sales significantly increased in 2022 by 97% as a result of further market wins and the launch of a third fragrance, but has not yet reached a critical size to be at the break-even level. Lalique Beauty Services operated at high capacity, increasing operating revenues by 18.8% due to higher demand of group companies as well as third-party customers. We produced this year 9.7 million perfume bottles versus 7.5 perfume bottles in 2021. EBIT of the segment increased to euro 5.4 million with an improved EBIT margin of 14.1%. To conclude this part, let's go to slide 15 and our balance sheet. Here we can observe that our balance sheet remains solid, as reflected by the ratios net debt EBITDA at 1.7 and equity ratio at 50%. If we exclude the repayment of the 15.4 million of COVID credit in Q1, net cash flow would have been positive despite a strong level of investment for 15.2 million, in production capacities, especially at Glenteret with a new automatic mash tun, in the Crystal factory with the replacement of the furnace and renovation of the cold glass workshop, and also in equipment for the increase in production capacity at the perfume filling factory. Finally, intangible assets and non-current asset liabilities rose respectively due to the capitalization of the new Superdry license amounting 12.5 million euros. With this, let me hand back to Roger for the third and last part of the presentation.
Okay, thank you, Alexis. Let's go to slide 17. Highlighting our business priorities for the current year. So Lalique Group will continue to pursue its diversification strategy, as the breadth of our business has proven to be a strength in economically challenging and uncertain conditions. In the current year, we will move ahead with selected product launches and projects to further strengthen our portfolio, which among others includes various new launches under all of our perfume brands, except of course for Superdry, which will see the rollout of a first perfume line in spring 2024. It also includes new ultrasound formulas, taking account of regional trends and customer preferences, a mix of annual collections and special art editions at Lalique, and last but not least, the further development of Glenturret whiskey sales and simultaneous increase in awareness of the distillery's Lalique restaurant. This brings me to the final page, slide 18, with our financial outlook. First, with regard to the current year, Lalique Group expects growth in the low 10% range in 2023, while profitability is expected to be slightly lower due to higher energy costs in particular. Looking further ahead, we are holding on to our midterm targets that we originally set in April 2019 and extended by 2 years given the setback of the COVID-19 pandemic. And of course, as always, our outlooks are subject to unforeseeable events. With this, I thank you for your attention, and we are now happy to take your questions. Operator, please, who has the first question?
We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question comes from the line of Patrick Svendimann from JKB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Patrick Svendimann from Cantonal Bank. Good morning, Roger and Alexi. I have several questions, if I may. How much have the energy costs already increased in 22? And what was the absolute amount in terms of energy costs for last year? Then second question, what absolute amount do you expect for the energy costs for the current year? And then I have three questions regarding your guidance. You expect a sales growth in the low 10% range for 23. So is this 10 to maybe 12% growth in local currency or in euro? And for which brands do we expect the highest growth for 23? And then number four, you're expecting a slightly lower profitability for the current year. Does this mean a lower EBIT margin or also a lower absolute EBIT? And finally, the midterm guidance of an EBIT margin of 9 to 11% is postponed due to COVID. In the current year, the EBIT margin will be clearly below this bracket. In which year do you think you are able to reach this guidance, this EBIT margin guidance, and what will be the main driver to reach that target? Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Svendimann. On your first question regarding energy costs, we always work with forward contracts for energy, and as a result of that, we were able to maintain our energy costs until end of 22. So last year, to be more concrete, we hadn't experienced any increase. While in 23, of course, the story is a little bit different because there has been a huge surge, and actually our energy costs will for the full year 23 will double compared to the level in 22. Having said that, 23 is going to be a peak in terms of energy cost increase, as we expect that 24 and 25, those levels will come down, and we have already entered into some forward contracts in that respect. In terms of your second question regards our guidance for 23, so when we talk guidance, we always talk in local currency, of course. Your third question was regarding the slightly lower EBIT. So here we are talking about the EBIT margin, which we expect to come in slightly lower than in 22, in particular due to energy costs, but also inflation in general with higher personal expenses as a result. And I think your last question was regarding in which year do we expect to reach our midterm EBIT targets. So we set this target initially in 2019. Midterm was anything between 3, 4, or 5 years. Add 2 years due to the COVID setback. So we expect that we should be able to at least get to the lower end of this range, 9 to 11% by 2025, and if not, definitely in 2026. Have I answered all your questions?
Perfect. Thanks a lot. Just in terms of the EBIT margin, yes, lower, but the absolute EBIT could then be higher, or for the current year?
That will depend on the actual revenue growth. So it's difficult to say this at this stage, but the margin itself will be slightly lower. That's a fair forecast to say, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. And for which brands do we expect the highest growth for 23?
Well, we definitely the highest growth rate will be at Glen Torrett, this brand has been relaunched during the pandemic in the year 2020, but of course then we were delayed with the release of our annual ranges also last year due to supply issues. So we expect that Glen Torrett will grow very strongly. And but we expect basically all our segments to grow, perfume as always, and Ultrasun. But we anticipate that the growth rate will be below the one that we saw in 2022.
Right, perfect. Thanks a lot.
The next question comes from the line of Jean-Philippe Bercy for Vontobel. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. I have a couple of questions, and the first one is on the free cash flow, which was weak last year, but probably for temporary reasons. And the question is related to that with your midterm targets of EBIT margin. And I guess it's a bit of a complicated question, but I guess if you invested more, you will have as well more depreciation, which is, of course, waiting on your EBIT margin. So if you can share with us how you consider the free cash flow internally, and I think you're still not covering your cost of capital when you expect to do that. I think many elements in the questions, but probably you understand the meaning of it. The second one is a traditional one on Ultrasun. What is the perspective there, and whether it's still strategic for you? And the last one, out of interest, the fan fragrances market overall is very strong, clearly above the pre-COVID levels, and your growth as well with a couple of brands was very strong. What were the main drivers behind that, please?
Okay, thank you, Jean-Philippe. I will answer to the first question, Alexis, regarding the free cash flow. It's true that this year we had a strong level of investment, especially in production facilities, that impacted our free cash flow this year. We invested 15.2 million in the three facilities. But also, the free cash flow was finally positive if we consider that we repaid a short-term COVID credit by 15.4 million during Q1. So if we exclude this repayment, extraordinary repayment during Q1, then free cash flow would have been positive. In terms of impact on our profitability in future, of course, this investment level in 2022 will lead to additional amortization in next year, but keeping in mind that this CapEx investment are focused on the facilities, increasing production capacity, and then increasing also future revenues and margin. So in terms of free cash flow, we see here more positive trends for the midterm guidance. I hope it's answered.
Yes, understood. Yeah, the question was whether if you should maybe focus on free cash flow targets rather than EBIT margin. That would be the question, because of course your depreciation level would be a bit higher in absolute terms. That was a bit the question.
Yes, I mean both. We need to work with both targets. Obviously, the guidance on the EBIT margin is the one that we follow since now 4 to 5 years. But obviously, with the investment that we're doing now in the production capacity, we'll have a look closer, a closer look to the free cash flow development in the next year. But we don't have any specific guidance for the moment in terms of free cash flow, if it's the question.
Yeah, very clear. Yeah. Good.
Jean-Philippe, your second question was on ultrasound, the perspective, and whether we still consider or what level of strategy we see with this brand, which is a bit standalone in our portfolios. In terms of perspective, there's a clear focus now on Asia and China in particular. We have experienced some issues in the past years with our China distribution, which we are in the process of restructuring now, moving to a new distribution partner and preparing the transition. Now, in terms of strategy, of course, the ultrasound brand is a little bit well by itself in our portfolio, but we still think that with the potential we see in Asia, the potential that we see in the U.S., which is a market that we were not able to enter into yet due to trademark issues, which are in the process of being solved. So we still think that ultrasound has a significant growth potential that we will be able to tap in. So for the time being, of course, we continue to drive and develop the brand. Does that answer the question?
Yes, thanks.
And your last question was about, can you repeat that, please?
Yeah, basically, the parfums or the fine fragrances, the overall market is growing very fast. You have seen with Givaudan again last week with a very strong growth, and yourself as well. And in your view, what is driving this strong growth in the markets, especially for you, for Jaguar? What do you see? What are the trends in the different markets?
Well, I wouldn't look at it specifically market-wise. The growth that we have seen is absolutely global, and it is huge, as you rightly point out. The perfume business has seen the biggest growth in our portfolio in 22, and as you say, we see the same with Givaudan or other fragrance houses, and of course we see this with other especially bigger actors than us like L'Oréal and Coty and so on. So. And the outlook is still very, very positive for perfume and beauty in general. So having said that, we don't expect to see a similar growth than in 22, but of course we still expect our perfume business to continue to grow in 23 and the following years.
Excellent. Merci beaucoup, gentlemen.
We have a follow-up question from the line of Patrick Schwendimann from ZKB. Please go ahead.
Well, thank you again, Patrick Schwendimann. Some additional questions, if I may. For the Glen Turret, what is your best guess assumption in terms of sales and EBIT margin for the next couple of years? And the same question for ultrasound, what is here your best guess assumption in terms of sales and EBIT margin? And finally, also for the Lalique brand, which there was still an extraordinary profit included, and despite the fact the margin was still clearly below group average. What do you think is possible here in the midterm for the Lalique brand? And then on the group level, what have been the price increases so far, and are there further price increases planned? And finally, what is your best guess expectations in terms of CapEx for the current year and also in terms of the tax rate, which was rather low last year? What's your best guess here for the current year and also for midterm? Thank you.
Okay, a lot of follow-up questions, no problem. Well, Glentoran and Ultrasan are clearly the brands that have a big growth potential, probably bigger than our group average outlook, if I may put it this way. And I would say that Glentoran will actually grow even stronger than Ultrasan, especially understanding that with Glentoran we still have several markets which we have not entered yet, like especially in Asia, Singapore, Thailand, or South Korea, probably Macau as well, and of course the profitability of Glentoran will increase. We expect to break even this year, and then to start making profit contributions in the following years. Now, you pointed out that Lalique has the weakest margin amongst our business segments. That's a fact, and the reason, of course, is the production of our products, which is very artisanal. There's a lot of handcrafting, and of course that comes at a cost. So of course we anticipate that we will be able to increase our gross margin, and as a result of that the profit margins. But of course it will be less spectacular, if I may use this term, than at brands such as Glentoran or generally speaking in our perfume business. You mentioned price increases. Yes, we have significantly increased our prices in the past 18 to 24 months. Of course, we were obliged to do that due to increasing raw material and components costs, which we needed to offset. And whether or not we will, further increase prices going forward, we did some increases at the start of this year, and so at least for the next couple of months, we will see how things go, and we will then decide whether or not to further increase prices at the beginning of the second half of the year. In terms of CapEx, there's no clear number that I can give you, but investments in the Lalique factory are ongoing, especially in the cold glass fabrication workshops, where we need to increase our capacity. So that is twofold. One is of course additional equipment and working stations, and of course very importantly we need to increase our workforce, hire some new glass makers, glass workers, especially also considering that going forward some of our experienced workers will retire, and we need to not only to replace them but also to increase the workforce to meet our growth targets. And as far as Glentoran is concerned, we have invested in a new mash tun, which will allow us to increase volumes and also at the same time to reduce energy consumption. So we don't expect any significant investments in Glentoran in the short or mid-term. As far as the perfume filling and conditioning side is concerned, we will invest in a new automatic production line, which we anticipate to start operating at the beginning of next year, 2024. And in the following years, we will also invest in a new maceration workshop. There are two reasons for that. One is simply to be able to manage our growth, which we anticipate will continue over the next years, and also to invest in more modern equipment, which will be more compliant with regulations regarding macerations and use of alcohol in our products.
Does it mean all in all maybe that CapEx could be similar than last year again, around 15 million or lower?
You mean for this year?
Yes.
I think it will be in the same range.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And price increases so far in the mid-single digit or range, or what was the amount?
I didn't get that question. What increase are you referring to?
The price increase you've done so far overall for at the group level was in the mid-single digit percentage range, or?
No. It's double digit. We as I said, over the past 2 years, we've done 3 to 4 price increases across most segments. So adding these together, we end up with a low double digit figure.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Yes, Patrick.
Gentlemen, Alexia, there are no more questions at this time. Excuse me, we have a follow-up question from the line of Jean-Philippe Percy for Vontobel. Please go ahead.
Yes, me again. Thanks a lot for taking my questions. Alexis, I bet your comment about increasing the workforce was quite interesting, and some people are retiring in the crystal glass. And when we hear some similar comments from Hermes, I think the challenge is to find some qualified workers. I would like to have your comments on that. And the second one is on considering your sound and healthy financial situation, if you are looking at some acquisitions in any areas, and if you have some new perfumes in the pipeline, if you can share that with us, please.
Yeah, on the workforce, we have a training program at the Lalique factory, which has been there for many years actually, but we increased that and we developed that because we're looking for young workers, but most of the time we're not able to hire, you know, qualified and productive glass workers because there are hardly any schools or ways to learn it. So we need to have to hire people who are skilled with their hands, and then we train them and see in what workshop they could be the most productive and therefore the most motivated. So that can be hot glass or cold glass, and of course within those two sections then there are various aspects or various jobs that they can fulfill. So that's for the workforce increase. On acquisitions, well, of course we always, especially in the perfume segment, we're always looking out for new brands that we could take under license. We consistently are having discussions with the branding agencies, or sometimes we are being approached directly from certain companies. And we are still having some discussions as we speak today. But of course, at this stage, nothing very concrete. And of course, even if that were the case, I couldn't give you any names. Other than in perfume licenses, right now we are not looking out for any other acquisitions. We think that we need to consolidate our current portfolio and in particular grow organically in the Lalique and Glenturret segments.
Very clear. Thanks a lot.
We have a follow-up question from the line of Patrik Schwendimann from ZKB. Please go ahead.
Thank you again, Patrik Schwendimann. Just regarding the tax rate, this was not answered. What is here, your comment, your best guess?
Yeah, sure, Patrik. I was answering the question, but suddenly the line cut it. So, yes, regarding the tax rate, we had a slight decrease this year. It's mainly related to different tax consideration in LALIC entities. So to answer the question, I think that our expectation is to coming back to a rational level of tax between 2022 and 2021. I hope that answered the question.
Perfect. Thanks a lot. Much appreciated.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions at this time.
Okay. If there are no further questions, then we would like to thank you all again for attending this call. And, of course, we look forward to speaking to you next time. So thank you very much and have a good day.